Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
On your home for Sporting Kansas City, Sports Radio 810, WHB.
Presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, by the Xfinity Sports Zone, and by Central Bank of the Midwest.
Good evening and welcome to the Final Whistle postgame show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Dave Borchardt alongside Chad Reynolds. Sporting KC, a dramatic come-from-behind 2-1 win tonight at home against expansion side Austin FC. We will hear from manager Peter Vermees in the postgame press conference coming up momentarily as Sporting just a dramatic comeback win, Chad. Unbelievable. And not only that, it's early in the season, obviously game number four, but we were saying it almost felt like a must-win kind of game as Sporting has gone from a great first game, an average second game, a bad third game. And this game didn't start off so well, but Sporting KC comes back. It feels like a big win.
Yeah, and it was one of those games where, well, the final score was 2-1. Should have been what? 4-2, 5-3. I mean, it was a nutty game, but the fight in this team to come back and score twice in the final 10 to win it was huge.
All right, let's go to Peter Vermees and get his thoughts after tonight's big win.
Two questions here. One, what was the reason for the substitution with Punchitz for Kaveh Rad? And then what did you think of Ilya's second half? It seemed like he really was pushing the tempo and helping keep you guys on the front foot for the goal.
Punchitz had a problem with his hamstring. I can't tell you what the full extent of it is, but he had a problem with his hamstring, and so we had to get another central defender out there. On the other side, what I would say about Ilya is, you know, he has a lot of assets that he provides us in the game, and the fact that he could move around, play in the back, play when we moved to three in the back, he went in the back into the middle. It helps us immensely to be able to make that shift, and then him to actually do it in a really, really good way. It helps us a lot. So that was a big change in the game, which I thought put a lot of pressure on them.
Next question goes to Seren Petro with Sports Radio 810 WHB. Seren, your line is open.
Peter Polskamp in goal, obviously the youngster. What did you think? The one he gave up on, anything he could have done differently and just his game all around?
Yeah, I'd have to see it again. He may have been able to stay in the goal and let the defenders kind of run him down. I just don't know if the guy would have gotten away from us. I don't know if he slowed down that the goalkeeper came out. It's hard for me to tell. I'm going based off of memory, not based off of seeing it, you know, since the game. But I would say outside of that, he finds a way to keep staying in the game, and he's getting better all the time. He's getting more comfortable. You can tell he's getting more comfortable with his feet. He's getting more comfortable just in the management of the game. And, you know, for a guy as young as he is, he's doing a hell of a job.
The yellow cards, I mean, ultimately you get the yellow red, which gives you the advantage, but there did seem like there were a lot of opportunities. Was there some, I mean, maybe it all added up, right, ultimately to the red card, but did you maybe a little frustrated that you didn't see some yellow before that?
Well, I think that he could have easily had a couple of yellows that would have led to a red. So, you know, all the same, I guess it probably just could have happened a lot earlier. You know, there's sometimes an accumulation, and what they did a really good job of is when we did break them a few times and started getting out on the run, they were doing the tactical fouls. And I just think that those things have to be managed. And unfortunately, you know, the players nor the coaches can manage that. The referee has to. But all in all, I thought that those guys did a decent job in the game.
Next question goes to Sean Goodwin with the Kansas City Star. Sean, your line is open.
Peter, another 90 minutes from Fontas. Just how much trust do you have in him? You know, Raz has came on, he's got fresher legs, but when you make athletic substitutes, it's Raz who comes back off, and you keep Fontas on for a whole 90 minutes. Just what's the trust in him?
Just the fact that he has, he's an experienced player. He's played, you know, I don't know how many La Liga games. He's a very, very experienced player, and especially at that moment when we have the ball, he's very good in those moments. And you know, we looked we're a team that wants to have the ball. We're a team that wants to play out of the back. And I thought that he was very good on the ball again today. Very calm in situations, made some timely tackles defending. And I think that that consistency continues to bear fruit for us. And we just got to keep riding that. And he does as well. And credit to him because he takes care of himself.
Final two questions. We'll go to Chad Smith and Jimmy Mack. First, Chad Smith with SB Nation. Chad, your line is open.
Peter Gramzusi returned from injury after a long time off. What did you think of his performance tonight, and how do you plan to manage his minutes over this three-game week?
Yeah, look, he's a monster. You know, for him to go, you know, 55 minutes like he did today, you know, I wasn't sure if I was going to have to sub him 30 minutes into the game or 45. The fact that he went another 10 minutes after the break was tremendous. You know, it's a credit to him and the way he takes care of himself, the way he works. I mean, I was in preseason with him when I was going and working out in the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he was there every morning doing therapy, staying strong, staying fit, not you know, not getting heavy. I mean, just consummate professional and a great example to a lot of guys on our team. And even when he came off and he was sitting on the bench, him and Roger both were sitting there, you know, two guys that have so much experience as they do and played so many games for this club. They were so motivated and, you know, cheering the guys on and, you know, into the game. It's great to see their competitiveness and just the way that they go about their business. But very happy for Zeus. He's put a lot of work into getting to where he is, and he had a really good performance.
Final question goes to Jimmy Mack with no other pod. Jimmy, your line is open.
Peter Beasler's first game back in the stadium, obviously in the new shirt. He and Zeus had a good moment after the game, and then Beasler went over and saluted the cauldron. What was it like for you seeing him come back and play in a different shirt in the stadium?
Yeah, it's not an easy thing, you know. I mean, I have a special place for Bees. We spent a lot of years together, went through a lot of battles, a lot of wars, and won a lot of them. And so, you know, look, I know what it's like when you know, you leave a team that you've been with and then you go someplace else. It's always a tough thing as a player. But you know, I got nothing but you know, great ideas about him, great memories, and you know, he's a class act. So I wish him nothing but the best. But it was also good seeing him after the game as well.
Peter, thank you for the time. Congrats on the win.
Thank you.
Peter Vermees giving his thoughts after tonight's big 2-1 comeback win. We'll hear from a player or two coming up shortly as well. It's funny, Chad, this there's so many things to talk about, but a cool moment before the game. I got here about 90 minutes before the game, and Matt Beasler came on the field with his Austin teammates and got a standing ovation. It was mainly people in the cauldron in the stadium at that point, but he felt the love all night. We'll talk more about that. Right now, one of his best buddies in MLS, Gramzusi, who played his first game since October, and we'll hear his thoughts after tonight's 2-1 win.
Just give your initial thoughts on what it was like being back, and then tell us about kind of going up against former roommate, longtime friend, Matt Beasler.
Yeah, it was I actually can't describe in words what it felt to be back in front of the fans. It was it kind of caught me off guard. I was a bit emotional when I came out for warm-ups, but it felt fantastic to be back and to cap it off with a win as well. And then playing against Bees was a bit surreal, to see him in a jersey other than Sporting Blue. But you know, we've been teammates for so long, and we've had this very healthy competitiveness towards each other really our whole careers, and I think that's what's pushed us to where we've been able to get to. And so it was to compete against him in a match was it was fun. I mean, Bees was Bees on the field. He was smart, you know, obviously extremely good on the ball. His soccer IQ's through the roof, and just a tough guy to play against. So you know, when I got the chance to, you know, when we were close to each other on the field, we you know, exchange a couple words and say our hellos. But yeah, I mean, you always want to be on the same team as Bees, but if next best thing is competing against a guy like that.
Next question goes to Sean Goodwin with the Kansas City Star. Sean, your line is open.
Hey, Zeus, it's good to see you back on the field. How was your 295th performance for Sporting KC? You are now Mr. Sporting Kansas City, most appearances for the club. Just what does that mean to you to one reach that milestone, and just what does this club mean to you?
I was unaware of that, but that's yeah, that's kind of cool, I guess. I mean, this club means everything to me. It's the only one I've played for, and the only one I know, and the only one I would like to play for. But it's, yeah, I mean, you go throughout the years and the memories that we've built here, the trophies we've won, and the trophies that we want to win in the coming years as well. Yeah, I really have nothing but fond memories for my time here, and I'd like to see that continue for as long as possible.
Next question goes to Seren Petro with Sports Radio 810 WHB. Seren, your line is open.
Graham, what's it say, and what's the confidence like for this team? I mean, it was one of those nights that looked like it could very easily could have been one of those, oh, there's a, you know, some kind of wall over the goal, we can't get it. Has created a lot of chances, you know, had some point blanks where guys looked like they were doing everything right except the ball just wouldn't go in the net. I know the red card helps, obviously, being up a man, but, you know, what does it say to be able to not just go get one but get two when that door opens?
Yeah, I you know, if you look at the game as a whole, I think we fully deserve to win the game with the amount of chances that we created. And some of them for no fault of our own, goalkeeper made some fantastic saves against us. A couple of them, I think we could have done a little bit better as well, but we created some high quality chances in this game, and think we deserve the win, but fully took advantage of the red card as well. You know, I think we, with stoppage time, we probably had another 30 minutes left in the game once the red card happened, and the guys were calm and collected, continued to play our game, and we know that once we were a man up, should give us ample time to get some more opportunities, and a couple of our guys put away some good chances.
Other end, Pulse Camp, I mean, particularly right after the goals, they had a couple of really good chances, and he came up big. What do you say about the 20-year-old?
Yeah, that's inexcusable from us to score a goal and then give up a chance off the kickoff. That's pretty poor. It's lack of just, you know, we lost focus for 5 seconds, and that should not happen off a kickoff. But Pulse Camp bailed us out in that one. So can't say enough about some of the saves he made today. But from a you know, a focus standpoint, that's inexcusable from us.
Final question for Graham. We'll go to Chad Smith with SB Nation. Chad, your line is open.
Graham, you said you were unaware of becoming the all-time appearance leader. Probably won't surprise you to find out that you took that role from your former teammate, Matt Beisler. Are you going to be reaching out to Matt and talk to him about that, maybe rub it in a little bit?
No, God, no. As far as I'm concerned, any record that, you know, myself or Matt holds, whether one of us jumps the other, we've done that all together, so might as well tattoo both our names in the history books.
Graham, thank you very much for the time tonight.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Graham Zusi giving us thoughts after tonight's big 2-1 come from behind win for Sporting KC. We'll probably hear from another Sporting player coming up momentarily. This really was one of those games, Chad. Sporting could have scored four goals, but it looked at about the 75th minute like Sporting wasn't going to get a single goal. They had chance after chance after chance, couldn't find the back of the net. They finally find two, including the game winner in the 91st minute by Gadi Kinda. Let's hear from him now, the game-winning goal scorer in tonight's 2-1 win.
Can you give us your thoughts on the game?
Again, what I feel about the game? It was a good game. I think we can score before the last minute, and we have a lot of chances to score. It was a good game, and I think that we are deserved to take the win, and I'm happy for the 3 points.
Our next question goes to Sean Goodwin with the Kansas City Star. Sean, your line is open.
Gadi, congrats on the goal. You know, again, you come on as a substitute and you're playing against 10 men. Just, you know, scrum mentality. What are you thinking as you're coming onto the field and you have such a short amount of time to score?
What was the mentality coming on as a substitute against 10 men? Because they never did.
I think it was great mentality even with the 11 players. I think we played very well. We can score, like I say, before they get the red card. It was a very good game. I hope the next game we will score the chances.
Our next question goes to Seren Petro with Sports Radio 810 WHB. Seren, your line is open.
How would you say the chemistry is, how the guys are all getting around? Peter's talked about that. A number of guys are trying to get fit, so you got, you know, maybe not everybody can play as long as they want, plus some new faces. How do you think the chemistry is coming together?
I think we have a good relationship with all the players. We understand one each other very good, and you can see it in the games.
Next question goes to Daniel Sperry with Last Word on Soccer. Daniel, your line is open.
Gadi, tell us about how you felt when you put the ball in the back of the net and running around doing flips into the corner.
How did you feel about
beautiful? I like the score. It's the best feeling to score, and last minute goal, it's amazing, and I was very happy with these 3 points. That's all.
Final question, we'll go to Jimmy Mack.
Yeah.
SB Nation, Jimmy, your line is open.
Hey, Gadi, your first win at home of the season. How did it feel to be jumping around and dancing with the fans after the game for your first win of the year?
How did it feel when you were dancing with the fans after the game?
It's still amazing. The fans are fantastic, and it's a great feeling.
Gadi, thank you very much. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Gadi Kinda, the game-winning goal scorer. He gets a header goal. In the 91st minute, Chad, Sporting KC was down 1-0 in this game.
In the, what, after, the seventh minute?
After 81 minutes. I mean, they were down
1-0. Oh, yeah.
You're right. They got down early, but then with 10 minutes left, they were down, and it just looked like it wasn't going to happen tonight. Sporting missed chance after chance, including Daniel Shallowy, who had three great chances he didn't score. Andreu Fontes had a header from about 4 feet out from goal, wide open, did not score. Gianluca Busio missed a header right in front of the goal. And I tried the reverse psychology jinx. You know our friend Sean,
yes,
who calls
sir.
Every show, which we'll mention. Phone lines are open, 913-381-810. I told Sean after Fontes missed the header, I said, Sean, it just seems like it's not one of those nights. Sporting's not going to score, and this is officially the reverse psychology jinx. And sure enough, Sporting did score two goals after that. Ilya with the header. Gadi Kinda with the header. If I would have told you Sporting scored two goals and come from behind fashion, you wouldn't have expected two headers from those two guys.
That's a great point.
But it's a huge win. Austin, for an expansion team, they're kind of red hot coming in here. They'd won their last two games. They got up early in this game. The red card certainly changed everything in this one.
I mean, the red card changed everything, but this was a game that prior to the red card even, Sporting was dominating at that point. I mean, look, one goal, let's call it against the run of play on a weird on a weird deflection and then a fantastic ball. But Sporting was the better team most of the first half and definitely the better team in the second half, and the red card created the opportunity. But frankly, the red card allowed Josh Wolf to say, we're going to park the bus. Nine guys behind the ball. And what Sporting did was create enough chances through the run of play to get a set piece. And Sporting looked dangerous on set pieces all night long. And so set piece after set piece after set piece, you felt like the dam had to break, hopefully, right? Mm-hmm. Or to your point, Dave, at one point I looked at who I was standing next to and said, this kind of feels like one of those games where the goalkeeper has a blinder against you. You miss a couple of shots you should have had, and you lose 1-0, and you feel like you're hard done. Stuver was having that game. Set-piece goals are how you break that kind of a game. And Ilya getting up, out-heading everybody. Ilya great in the air defensively. Don't see a lot offensively from him. And that was huge. And then Gadi Kinda, the snap header, the pace he got on that header from 8 or 10 yards out was really impressive.
He's been quiet early in the season.
He has.
To the point he's a designated player, and I don't know if I'd say he's been benched, but he wasn't in the starting lineup tonight as one of the more high-priced playmakers on the team. He hasn't done a lot the first three games, but that's a huge moment.
I thought he looked better tonight in his time out there. He looked more in the flow of the game than he had the last few matches, and maybe that was because of the way Austin was sitting. It afforded him the space to run it, guys. And there were a couple of times he did it really nicely. And then, I mean, just found himself in the perfect spot on the second one. I mean, that was really cool. Like, that, just in the right spot at the right time. A nice little deft, tiny little touch from Kyrie Shelton, who I'm not sure wasn't trying to bring the ball down for himself. But it worked. It found its way right in the middle of the box to Gotti. And then would not have expected a header there. But it was the right call at the right time, and he buried it at the back post.
To your point earlier, Sporting was doing really well even before the red card. At halftime, Sporting was down 1-0. Their expected goals at halftime was 1.4 to just 0.5 for Austin. So theoretically, Sporting was three times as good offensively as Austin in the first half, even though they were down 1-0 at half. It ends up 3.7 to 0.8 in favor of Sporting. So about a 4-1 game is what the stats would say this should have been.
But that's kind of what it felt like. I mean, look, the Polito chance early is huge. He takes too big of a touch because he didn't quite realize where Stuver was. I don't think he thought he had the time and space he had. That should be a goal. And most 9 times out of 10, I think Polito does score that. It is an incredible save from Stuver on the 1v1 with Shallowy. And then Busio's got to finish the header. I mean, you're talking, you have a chance to be up 3-1 at the half if things go the way you would kind of normally expect them to. And then in the second half, yeah, I mean, I do feel genuinely like a 3-1 result probably would have been fair tonight. But you'll take the 2-1 and you'll put it in your pocket and you'll run the way it shook out.
So Sporting saw three different center backs in the second half. And we have a text asking about our thoughts of Ilya as a center back moving forward.
Four different center backs in the second half. When they went to the three back, Ilya dropped back there.
Okay.
When Puncic came off,
yep.
Kave came on.
Yep. And then
didn't
he come out for Ilya?
Kave came off for
he came
for
off
Shelton,
Remy,
for Shelton.
Remy and Shelton.
Yeah,
came
yeah Remy
on,
and
yeah.
Shelton came out at the same time. They dropped Ilya back in a three back system, and they just told Luis Martins just to go. And so Jalen and Luis were flying up the wings at that point.
So what are your thoughts on that? Because, you know, the goal Sporting KC gave up tonight, again, appeared to be at the fault of the center back, specifically Punchets. Mm-hmm. And with Izzy out, it seems like center back is still a question, at least one of the two center back spots. Fontes looked good tonight again.
I thought Fonte looked great.
I think
tonight,
Fontes
yeah.
with Izzy's probably a solution if Izzy's healthy. But, I mean, do you like Ilya as an option between Rad and Punchets and Ilya and Graham Smith? I mean, do you think that's a real option, or do you think he figures more right in front of the back line?
I think Ilya could finish his career as a center back. I don't think he's right there right now. I think first off, I thought Ilya was excellent tonight, especially the second half. There was a lot better connection in the midfield tonight. The spacing between Ilya and Busio and Roger was so much better than the spacing last weekend was between Ilya. Was it Ilya, Remy, and Boos? Yeah, I mean, the spacing was just not good. and there were gaps for Salt Lake to run
midfield
through.
Midfield was horrible last week.
And, but the spacing was better tonight. Diego Fagundes is a really good MLS soccer player. Has been for a really, really long time, right? Diego Fagundes was not finding space in behind the six, in behind Elie, the same way Salt Lake did all week last week. Diego Fagundes was Austin was looking to play it into the wing and then whip the ball into the middle. And those were their danger moments. It wasn't with Fagundes marauding through the midfield. He did it a couple of times, but chances didn't come from them, you know? And so I genuinely believe that the best version of this team has Elie at the six when he's on and he's healthy and he's moving around. The question I've got is, who's your third center back? And right now, to me, it's probably Kaveh Rod. I mean, Kaveh had some moments last week where you wanted better out of that kid. But I think from an athleticism perspective, if Issy goes down, Kaveh slots into that spot a lot better than a Robbie Puncic does.
When I think it's pretty obvious who the preferred starting center backs are, right? It's Issy and Fontes. I think the big question is, who are the three preferred starting midfielders? Because we saw all five of the guys tonight. And I really don't know if MLS Cup is next week, which, granted, we're far, far, far away from that. I thought Remy looked good again tonight after having kind of a lackluster game at Real Salt Lake. I know we were talking this afternoon that we thought this was a big game for Elie, you know, and he performed pretty well. So I don't know. And then Roger looked good. I mean, you're talking about how the midfield looked a lot better tonight. I don't think it's a coincidence that Roger was out there and doing what he does.
Can I put it this way? There's three spots. There's five, maybe six guys, right?
Yeah. Five, for sure.
The first name on that list right now is Gianluca Busio. In any one of those three positions, the first name on that list is Gianluca Busio. The question I have is, how do you decide who the next two are? I thought Roger was excellent again tonight. I think Roger brings – I mean – this show sometimes could be the Chad Reynolds, Roger Espinosa love fest, because I think he's one of the most underrated players in the history of this league, not just Kansas City. But, for me, it's Busio, and then matchup-wise, who do you feel is best in there? And I think that means you've got options. You've got Remy Walter or Elie at the six. You've got Roger Espinosa or Gadi Kinda, or maybe Busio gets a break. I mean, there's so many options in the midfield right now, but Boos is the number one name on that list. He's the one that's kind of in Sharpie, if you will.
All right, we're due for a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls. 913-3810-810 is the number. Again, 913-3810-810. Lots of stuff to talk about. At the end of the day, it's a huge win for Sporting KC. 2-1 in come-from-behind fashion here tonight at Children's Mercy Park. Give us a call, 913-3810-810 is the number, and you're listening to the Final Whistle Postgame Show here on Sports Radio 810.
Brought to you by Central Bank of the Midwest, the proud community banking partner of Sporting KC. Learn more at sportingchecking.com. The postgame press conferences are brought to you by Xfinity. Experience the Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate sports hub, where you can find games, news, and highlights right on your TV with Xfinity X1. Visit Xfinity.com for details.
Attention men, over half of you will suffer from erectile dysfunction. There is a solution, the Kansas City Men's Clinic. If you're having trouble getting or maintaining an erection, or both, and regardless of age, medical condition, or performance issue, they can help. Call the Kansas City Men's Clinic today and receive a confidential consultation and all testing for only $49. Call 816-608-8189. That's 816-608-8189. Or go to thekansascitymensclinic.com.
Hi, I'm Missouri State Treasurer Scott Fitzpatrick. The Treasurer's Office holds more than $1 billion of unclaimed property, things like utility deposits or uncashed checks, and some of it might belong to you. 1 in 10 Missourians has unclaimed property, and the average claim is $300. You can search online 24/7 at showmemoney.com. Claiming your money is always free. It's Missouri's biggest lost and found, so search today.
Sponsored by the Missouri State Treasurer's Office.
Building a pool is not a job for amateurs. If you want a pool you'll enjoy for a lifetime, call the pros at Pro Built Pool and Patio. ProBuilt Pool and Patio is the largest provider of fiberglass pools in the region. Unlike liners, fiberglass pools from Imagine Pools and Pentair Pool Equipment are built to last, and they have over 200 different design options to fit your space. ProBuilt Pool and Patio offers competitive pricing, financing, and the fastest install timelines. Get a free quote by calling 816-786-3893 or go to ProBuiltPatio.com.
Keep mosquitoes away all summer long with Augustine Exterminators. Right now, save $15 every month with Augustine. For a limited time, Augustine is offering their mosquito protection for just $75 a month. Augustine Exterminators wants to thank you for trusting them to protect your home from pests for more than 50 years. They appreciate your loyalty, and to say thanks, they're offering you the opportunity to add an additional layer of protection from mosquitoes around your home for just $75 a month. Call Augustine Services today at 913-359-8627 or go online to AugustineExterminators.com.
Augustine Exterminators and Augustine Carpet Clean. Check them out online at AugustineServices.com. They do commercial and residential pest control, along with commercial and residential termite, even bed bug control. Of course, there's never any contracts with Augustine, and all their techs are certified applicators. Most companies can't say that. In fact, their techs average 17 years with Augustine. They're even Quality Pro and Green Pro certified as well. So for carpet and rug cleaning, air duct, tile and grout cleaning, Augustine Exterminators, and Augustine Pest Control.
Love the new car smell but think the car shopping process stinks? Check out OneRequest.com. Hi, this is Eric Westfall. We started OneRequest in Kansas City to make car shopping easy. We have over 5 million new and used listings. And with OneRequest, you don't share your personal information with sellers until you want to, which means you control your car shopping experience. We even have a concierge service for those who want the VIP treatment. Experience car shopping made easy. Request your car today at OneRequest.com.
OneRequest is not responsible for what you do with all the time you save.
Springtime has arrived. It's the time of year for golf, yard work, outside activities, and that honey-do list. Then your body reminds you that you're not 18 years old anymore. It's time to call Stretch Zone. Stretch Zone provides practitioner-assisted stretching, which helps decrease the pain and stiffness your body feels and improves your range of motion and flexibility. It literally has me feeling like a younger me. Stretch Zone is located in Lenexa, Overland Park, and now Prairie Village. StretchZone.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Final Whistle postgame show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Dave Borchardt alongside Chad Reynolds. Allie Trost is out tonight traveling for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I'll say happy Mother's Day to my mom, Carol Borchardt, and my wife, Bernadette Borchardt.
Wow.
So I get double shout outs.
I'll give the one to Deb Reynolds, who actually probably is listening. Hi, Mom. My parents are devout listeners of our show.
That's nice.
Yeah.
My mom would be, except it's, 9:38 on a Sunday night. So
sometimes I think it's just my parents and Sean.
Oh, so. We'll hear from Sean coming up momentarily. Phone lines are open, 913-3810-810 is the number. A couple stats for you, Chad. Johnny Russell, 8 key passes, most by any player in an MLS match this year.
He was great tonight.
He was very good
tonight.
So
dangerous.
Also, as we heard earlier, Graham Zusi sets the now regular season appearances record for Sporting KC. He was tied with Matt Beisler going into tonight, 294 regular season appearances, now 295. Number one all-time in Kansas City Wizards / Sporting KC team history. And Graham Zusi, for having not played since October, other than not being able to go 90 minutes, he didn't look rusty. I was very impressed.
No, I think, I said this to you before we started the show. I thought he looked really good positionally. You forget how good he is. His passing is incredible.
So good.
That switch fields pass is insane still. I do think he struggled a little bit on recovery runs. He would get forward, and that run back was like the muscles aren't there yet to do both of those things really quick. But I don't think he got beat for pace ever. I don't think, I thought Zeus looked good. I worried how long he could go. But, you've got Jalen Lindsay who can come in there. Fun fact about Zeus and Bees and their appearances, you actually had the 5 players with the most appearances in club history in the building tonight. Graham Zusi now number one, Matt Beisler number two, Carey Zavagnin number three, mm-hmm. Roger Espinoza number four, Davey Arno number five, and the assistant coach for Austin FC.
What's Josh Wolf like, 7, 8, 9?
He's like number 10 or 11. Yeah, Jimmy Conrad is number 7. Nick Garcia is number 6. Normally here, Works matches as a league observer, was not here tonight.
Well, if you're going to throw this out, I'll say this. Matt Beisler, Josh Wolf, Davey Arnault, a combined 784 appearances in all competitions and 7 combined All-Star selections. So there was a lot of former greatness for the Kansas City Wizards / Sporting KC.
Josh Wolf's name is on the wall here. Yeah. And you know, you kind of got to think that Graham Zusi and Matt Beisler are locks for that wall. I would make an argument that Davey Arnault belongs on that wall. And so, you know, that's pretty cool. There's a lot of – it was cool. I got a you know, chance to talk to Davey very briefly tonight, who you and I both know very well, worked with for years.
Yeah, I thought I saw him giving somebody the finger. That was
– probably me. That was probably you, yeah. Me. Yeah, that well-deserved, of course. But, no, it was cool to have all those guys in the building tonight. And then, obviously, the interaction between Matt and Graham both on the field and then after the game. And then Matt, apparently – with a really touching moment with the Cauldron post-match that I'd love to read more about after.
Yeah,
later
so it sounds like Matt and Graham exchanged jerseys, as many people thought they might. And then, like you said, Matt Beisler apparently went up to the Cauldron, gave them a Beisler number 5 jersey that said thank you on the back and a note expressing his love for Kansas City and the fans. So, yeah, very cool moment. And just, you know, Matt Beisler we know is a class act, and he showed that again tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, you were talking about the moment where he got the standing ovation from the fans pre-match. Right before that, I don't know if you caught this, Johnny Russell, Remy Walter, Daniel Shalloway, Jalen Lindsay, Jean-Luc Abusia were standing out at midfield. And Remy went walking off, and at that moment they realized Bees was, like, walking in. He was kind of the last guy in the Austin group. And they all just kind of stood there cheesing at him. Like, Johnny had that, you know, S-eating grin on his face. Just like, oh, we're going to give this guy so much crap. Daniel got down in, like, the paparazzi stance and the camera. and then that group had a really, really cool moment together. And then sporting owner Cliff Illig walked in. And Cliff and his wife Bonnie went up and talked to Matt, gave him a big hug. So that was a really, That's really cool moment to see. And then Bees kind of finished the huddle, and he walked off, and he kind of just looked around like, I don't know where to go. I've never done this before as the visiting team. Yeah. So he dropped his backpack and just, like, jogged out onto the field with the rest of the team, and that's when that setting it was a really fun sequence to watch all of that happen.
Yeah, he was in the much smaller, crappier locker room tonight.
Yeah, well, because of COVID, they're actually not even in the normal visiting team locker room. They're down in the auxiliary locker room.
Oh, so that's really
for spreading
bad.
Them out, yeah. And so it's not even as nice as the normal visiting locker room.
All right, we are delayed going to the calls. Apologize for that. 913-3810-810 is the number. Again, 913-3810-810. And Tristan is up first tonight on the Final Whistle postgame show. What's going on, Tristan?
Hey, y'all. I just thought I'd call in and talk about Busio. Earlier you said that you think he's number one on the list of our midfielders. I can't help but completely disagree with that. I'd say that we could put any combination of our midfield in that starting three for the midfield three before Busio. I'd almost say that he's the last name on that midfield three. Anytime you look at him off the ball or on the ball, he's always walking. Very rarely, even when he's on the ball, is he sprinting with pace. Only in the final couple of minutes did we actually see him pushing forward and pressing up. And when he was doing that, he never tracked back. There was a moment with around the hour mark where we had 5 guys in the attacking half and 5 guys back to defend. And Austin was pushing with 9 men into their attacking half, our defensive half. And we had an offer for about $10 million from Fiorentina a couple of years ago for Busio, and I can't help but feel that we made a mistake not taking that. And I just can't help but feel as though his value has dropped drastically since then. I don't know what your thoughts are. I'd love to hear, but I can't help but disagree with the point that he is number one on that team sheet for the midfield.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the call, Tristan. You know, it was funny. I got into an argument driving to the game tonight with my son about Graham Zusi versus Jalen Lindsay. Right, and we were going back and forth, and I think one of the best things about sports is you can have totally different opinions, and Tristan obviously is not that high on Jean-Luc Abusio. I see where he's coming from, and what you said, Chad, was essentially when Peter Vermees is filling out his lineup card and he's trying to pick those 3 midfield spots, he puts Jean-Luc Abusio on there first and then kind of picks the other 2. I think for most games that's probably correct. If Tristan is saying that Sporting has had chances to sell Jean-Luc Abusio, which is true. And if his thoughts are Jean-Luc Abusio maybe doesn't show that he's going to be a superstar player, I think that's probably a fair point. But I also think that out of all the midfielders, Jean-Luc Abusio is the youngest, the most athletic, maybe the most skilled, even though he doesn't show like superstar domination game after game after game. He's a high upside guy that every game he shows moments of quality. So I do think they have five good midfielders for the spot. I didn't see what Tristan is talking about in terms of Busio walking around. Like, I saw that from Zlatan when he came here. I don't necessarily see that from Boos in terms of, like, work rate.
No, I don't either. I think, Gianluca Busio was second on the team tonight in duels won. Like, that's not a guy who's got a low work rate. I do not agree with that. I think Gianluca Busio actually was really great tonight. He was the most dangerous player on the field at times. If you caught any of the FS1 broadcast, at halftime they were talking about how dangerous Gianluca Busio was. Post-game they were talking about how dangerous Gianluca Busio was. I think there were moments late in the game when Sporting was going, was driving to equalize, still down a goal. Austin is completely bunkered in. Sporting's first option to spring the offensive attack in the final third was to find Gianluca Busio back to goal in the half space and then let him turn and create from it. It wasn't Alan Pulido. It wasn't even Johnny Russell. It was Gianluca Busio. And you saw a lot of nice passes from Ilie and from the back line looking to find Boost to spring other things. Several times he did, including a couple of balls that were really important to go wide to Luis Martins. I guess I just disagree. I don't know what to say there other than I think Gianluca Busio has gotten better and better as his game has matured. And I think, as we've often said on the show, the biggest issue with Gianluca Busio is what's his natural position. And once we know that, which I think he is starting to develop more and more.
Do you think it's the 10 or is it too early to say that?
If he plays the 10, I don't think he's a traditional 10. But I also don't think the traditional 10 exists anymore in the game. Like, in the same way we always think of. There's not a lot of Diego Maradonas out there. Like Lionel Messi wears the 10 shirt, doesn't play the 10 position. You know what I mean? And so the game has just changed so much that I don't think it's the 10. I think it's as this 8 who can play defensively, who also can spring things offensively.
So box-to-box.
Yeah, it's a box-to-box midfielder who can be the second guy onto the ball and score goals. Felipe Gutierrez was not a traditional 10. There's a little bit of Felipe Gutierrez in Gianluca Busio's game. And, I think that second guy, late runner, finisher from deep, those kinds of things, that's what Boos can continue to add to his game. And I thought he was very, very good tonight. I wish he would have maybe created a little bit more at a couple of opportunities, but I think he also probably did exactly what Peter Vermees asked of him, which was get the ball wide a lot.
So let me ask you this before we get back to the phones. 913-3810-810 is the number. You're saying Busio wears the number 10 jersey. He's not a traditional number 10. Before Sporting came back tonight, there was some frustration in my group in the Cauldron about Alan Pulido, who's a number 9.
Not a traditional number
9.
But
isn't a traditional number 9 in terms of he's going to be up by the goalkeeper. He's going to score a boatload of goals. There were times tonight he was all the way out on the sideline. There was times tonight he was all the way back at the midfield circle. But that's just part of his game, right? He's still an effective player. He's still a great player, but he's not that traditional number 9.
Draw a three-point line, if you will, from the top of the box. Or maybe let's call it the top of the six-yard box. Alan Pulido plays along the three-point line. He plays in the half spaces when he's wide, and he plays deeper when he's in the middle. And he does those things so that when he receives the ball, he can go to goal or create something with it, right? He also does those things so that he can make the run into the space and finish, or he can make the run to create space. I wasn't able to do the post-game show last week, but Sporting's goal at Salt Lake is created because Alan Pulido drops deep into the midfield, receives the ball, cuts all the way across the midfield with it, draws two defenders in the midfield, and pulls the center back in. And pulling that second center back, and then, by the way, he made a fantastic pass out wide to Shelton, who made a fantastic cross for the goal. Pulling the second center back in opened up the space for Pulido on the back post. And those are the kinds of things that a traditional number 9 does not do. So, I think it's, Gianluca Busio is not a traditional 10. Alan Pulido is not a traditional 9. neither of those things is necessary in today's game.
And that neither thing concerns you,
no.
It sounds like.
No, I mean, look at what Alan Pulido has done in his career. Even in his short time in Kansas City, look at what he's done. No, I mean, the clearly the most dangerous man on the field tonight, or at least Austin thought so, because look at how many times he took an elbow in the back, a knee in the back.
Oh, man, you know, I mean, Beasler did a pro wrestling move on him one time, cross body block.
I mean, they were all over Alan Pulido tonight, and you know, I still thought he had an excellent game.
913-3810-810 is the number. I had the pleasure to sit with our good friend Sean tonight in the Cauldron. Sean's call will probably sound much more positive than it would have sounded at the 75th minute tonight. Sean, my friend, I assume this is the same Sean. How you doing?
Yes. Good. How are you doing?
Good, man. What are your thoughts?
You know, I hope Kristen keeps calling in because we need some more callers. And I hope he keeps lighting people up, too, because I feel like the one thing is we don't get a lot of pressure on Sporting. And I just feel like, you know, people need to be held accountable. And I don't agree with Busio for one reason. You know, first of all, I think he was first to a lot of 50-50 balls tonight, like at least, you know, three or four that I can remember. And I was kind of surprised. And I feel like he's really grown from, especially the first part of the first couple games when he had to play the false nine and there wasn't a Russell and there wasn't a Pulido. He was forced to take more responsibility. And I just feel like it was a different role. And I feel like he's grown. And to me, we make the mistake Sporting does a lot of times of trying to be the best team in the third and fourth game of the season as opposed to being the best team at the end of the season. And the reason that Busio needs to be the first player on the team sheet is because we need to be the best at the end of the season, and he needs to play as much as possible so that he can work his way through all this stuff and get better. And so I've seen some progress, and I think he needs to play as much as possible.
Sean, real quick, I know you've got more, but I completely agree. And yeah. I think what he did in the first couple of games, playing in that kind of false nine and then true nine role, is going to continue to make him a better, more well-rounded player in the midfield as well. So I completely agree.
Yep. And I like the way Rodgers being managed too. I mean, I think Rodgers should either start and play 60 minutes or he should come on and play the last 30 minutes and probably rotate like that, because what we've seen with Rodgers, unfortunately, too many times is he's been played till he's gotten hurt. And when he's out there and when he's rested, he's probably still the best player on the field. But he can't, you know, so I was really – I like the way PV used all five subs tonight. I feel like maybe earlier in the season –
Be still, Dave's beating heart.
It's the big one.
Yeah. Well, and when I see two subs come on at the same time, I feel really good because, I mean, I do think, too, the players in the field need some pressure. They need to know that if they don't get it done in 60 minutes, they're getting yanked. And I just feel like this, like, kind of floating out there and, you know – we're doing pretty good, and, you know, Shallowy had some chances, and, you know, that's our best chance to score, and maybe we shouldn't pull him. It's like, no. It's like, you got to know when you're out there and it's the 60th minute, I better score this time or I'm getting yanked. And I feel like, you know, it's important to keep this rotation going. I still have a lot of questions about the defense. I mean, I think there's a lot of concern there. But I like Rad, and I would say, you know, if I don't know about Izzy yet because I've only seen him – 1.5 games or whatever that was. But I think Rad's got a lot of potential, so if it's Rad or Puncic, I'd rather have Rad play. But, I mean, that was even interesting when he took out Rad, put in Rad and took out Rad. I mean, I just thought that, like, we got to be more fluid with this team. We've got a lot of players. We got to play more young players. And, you know, on the pressure side, you know, a couple last things is Pulido. You know, I agree he's not a traditional number 9, but I wonder if some of the stuff he does is because he doesn't feel like the other players can do it. It's like, I got to go back and get the ball. I got to go out wide and get the ball. I got to do all these things because I can't just be a number 9 because I'm not getting the ball. You know, and I just feel like we've got to figure out a way. Goal scoring is a skill, and we got to figure out a way that Pulido can take more shots and Shallowy and Busio can take less shots, because Shallowy and Busio are not as good at scoring as Pulido is. So, you know,
I mean, it's hard to argue that, right, Chad? If you have an ideal scenario, you'd want Pulido taking more shots than Shallowy.
I mean, Pulido had how many shots tonight? That was the question I was
asking. He had a couple, but they were blocked, from what I remember. He had two or three shots that were blocked. I don't remember a clean shot on goal.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, that very first one, where he was like
The one where he rounded the goalkeeper and put it into the side end. That was the one.
But Pulido's expected goals tonight was where I just saw it, 0.76, and it's almost all from that one moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, expected goals, though. I mean, Dave, this is my last thing, I guess. I don't understand it. I mean, Austin scored a goal on a breakaway. So how could their goals be less than – expected goals be less than one? And they also hit the crossbar. So, I mean, expected goals is some kind of – floating out there in the ether. I don't know how we, you know, understand.
Well, it's about the quality of the chance, though, Sean, and that's the like the goal that they scored came on the counter down a man. I mean, they were 2v4, maybe 2v3, maybe 2v4 on that counter, and it took an inch perfect ball to create it. So that's where that comes in, and the shot off the crossbar, that's a hell of a shot, but it's from 30 yards out, so it's a low expectation shot. You know, I mean. I'm with you though. It's a misleading statistic, but I mean, frankly, I watched this game back in my head, and I think of the chance that they asked Graham Zusi about during the press conference. That was a really good chance. Even the goal they scored wasn't that good of a chance. Weird bounce, inch perfect pass, Pochettino off the crossbar was a nutty shot, but that's not again a high quality chance. What did Austin create? Spring on the counter and a lot of long range stuff. They didn't do much tonight. I mean, credit to them for getting the goal they got, but
well, I think
it's an insane pass from Stroud. Go back and watch it again. That pass is insane.
I know. Sometimes when you're in the stadium, you're like, "What happened?" Because we were sitting in the cauldron, and I was just like, you know, I like those two goals that we scored. And I was like, "What happened?" You know, you're watching on the scoreboard to see like exactly what happened. But the I think it was huge that Sporting actually won tonight. Just because, I mean, I think it's going to build a lot of confidence and just, you know, it did seem like in the 75th minute that it was one of those games when nothing was going to go in. And so hopefully, like I said, I just hope, I want to see this rotation. I want to see a lot of players play. I'm still waiting for Wilson Harris to play. I did see him play Friday night, but, I just think that, I don't know. I it was a great game. It was a lot of fun. And, I was there when Beasler, you know, brought his jersey over to the cauldron, and he had a letter too, which hopefully I guess someone's going to post on social media or something like that, but they read it out over a little bullhorn. But it was cool. I mean, it was a great night, a lot of good memories, and it's great to have soccer back.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks for the call, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Here's a crazy stat that helps explain expected goals a little bit. Stroud, who had the pass, had the assist on that goal. His expected assists tonight, 0.13.
Oh my gosh!
That's how much of like a just like shot in the dark ball that was.
That was a long shot. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Pochettino, who had the shot off the crossbar, expected goals, 0.12. That's how unlikely of a goal that would have been if it goes in. So, I mean, even Gallagher, who had the goal, 0.33. You know, I mean, that was such a weird against the run of play sequence. You know, they had that chance a couple of times in the first half, but yeah, it is a weirdly misleading stat. But I just again. I look back at the game and I go, Austin didn't create that much. They did a lot of disrupting. They didn't create a ton.
913-3810-810 is the number if you'd like to join us. Again, 913-3810-810. Sporting KC wins 2-1 tonight against Austin FC, and you're listening to the Final Whistle postgame show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB Kansas City. We've got about 15 minutes left if you want to squeeze in another call. Real quick before we get back to the phones, final stats, possession, 56-44 in favor of Sporting KC. Sporting KC was down 56-44 at half. I'm not good at math, Chad, but that means they demolished Austin in possession in the second half to go from 44-56 to 56-44. Sporting KC dominated the second half, especially after the red card. They outshot Austin 25-11. Shots on goal 8-6 in favor of Sporting KC. Passing accuracy, 84.4% for Sporting, 82.6% for Austin. Corner kicks, 14-3 in favor of Sporting KC. And then we mentioned expected goals, 3.7 to just 0.8 for Austin. Pretty good performance for Sporting. And they've been very good against expansion teams. Let me find the stat here. Sporting KC now 6-0-1 since 2016 in their first game against an expansion team. So they continue that dominance tonight against Austin. Sporting KC with the win improves to 2-1-1, 7 points. Austin falls to 2-2-0, and they remain at 6 points. All right, let's go back to the phones real quick, and Joe is up next on the Final Whistle. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, glad
to be joining
you guys. So
first off, I want to take on the first caller and say that Gianluca absolutely needs to be starting every opportunity in the midfield somewhere. We can't lose sight of the fact that Gianluca is not about the now of Sporting KC. He's about the future. The kid wants to play in Europe. He will play in Europe. So Peter's job, and Peter understands this, being double-helmed as he is, that his job is to get the maximum value out of the transfer of Gianluca Busio. The only way you get that is letting the man play. And he deserves to be there otherwise. Frankly, I was at the match in New York or New Jersey, Harrison. He should have been the one to take the PK. So that's my first point. Play Gianluca every instance you can. The guy's 18. He heals up in 2 days. He could have played for FTC2 on Friday night. He would have been fine to go 99. Not exactly, but you get the point.
Yeah.
So that's my primary thing. The other thing is I love Gadi Kinda coming off the bench. Because while he took the PK and scored, not brilliantly, but scored in New York, tonight he was a danger man every time he touched the ball because, like he always is, nobody knows exactly what he's going to do with the ball. That's why he's better coming off the bench than when he's starting. The guy is gifted, but nobody knows what his gifts are until he's got the ball at his foot. It's hard to play with him. He's not that much of a team player. Not to his, you know, he doesn't mean to be. That's just his instinct. His instinct of what makes him dangerous, play him later rather than earlier, it serves the team well. That's all I got for tonight. Thanks
okay.
so much.
Hey, thanks for the call, Joe. Good points. I mean, we said a lot of that about Gerso, too. You know, Gerso was a guy that when he started, he was pretty good. When he came on late and he was one of the fastest players in MLS and the other team had tired legs, Gerso could be a real danger man. Now, granted, Sporting KC is paying Gadi Kinda to be a designated player.
Fair.
Ideally, you would want him to start, but coming off the bench, and tonight he came on in the 54th minute, I mean, Sporting had lots of good chances after he came on the field, and I even commented to Sean that the game kind of felt like we needed a playmaker out of the midfield, and Gadi Kinda did play
well. You got to unlock that team at that point, right? You're down a goal. They're starting to sit. They are still at 11 men at that point, but they very quickly after that, you know, Ring went in two-footed behind Ilya and deservedly was sent off. But, yeah, you have to have somebody who can unlock it, and Gadi Kinda is a guy who can unlock it. You know, the thing that I would say that impressed me the most about tonight for Sporting, and look, it was a scrap to get to 2-1. They had to claw to do it, right? Sporting created chances via the press. They created chances when they had the ball. They created chances via set pieces. This is a team that the last 3-4 matches we've been saying isn't creating chances. I mean, like, what, we're 4 matches into the season. This team has scored 5 goals, 6 goals, and how many of them came from, like, really great chances created via the run of play? Not that many. Sporting had those chances tonight.
Yeah.
And they did it a lot of different ways. And dominated possession, dominated the ball, were far more intentional with the ball, I would say, than Austin was. And, yeah, I just think, you know, I'm actually really looking forward to watching this game again from minute 1 to minute 90 or 98 or whatever the hell we got tonight. One, because I think if I go back and watch it almost neutral eyes, that would have been an entertaining game. Yeah. I mean, it was back and forth. It was fast. Things happened. Two, I really want to look at how Sporting attacked differently today than they did last weekend. What did the midfield do differently? What did the defense do differently? To my eyes, there was a whole lot of the ball going through Andreu Fontas and not just going to Luis Martins on the left, but also Fonti trying to play passes that skipped the midfield, two-level passes, straight to Busio. Well, I guess that's not skipping the midfield, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. He's high up the field at that point. Straight to Bus, straight to Polito. Graham Zusi with that big 60-yard switch changes the game. You know, that's something that's a club that Jalen Lindsay does not have in his bag yet. So I'm really excited to go back and watch it and see what did we see tonight that maybe gives us an indication of what we're going to see the rest of the season with Polito and Russell on the field, hopefully EC back, et cetera.
Well, let me know if you want to have a watch party, and I'll bring some delicious Budweiser products. and we can rewatch that.
Yeah.
That sounds good. All right, let's read through some of the highlights as we start to wrap up. 913-3810-810 is the number. Early on, Austin had some good chances. Fontas had a big clearance in the fourth minute on a very dangerous cross. Then we talked about this briefly in the fifth minute. Alan Pulido into the side netting. He actually dribbled around the keeper. It was a great ball forward by Johnny Russell. Pulido behind the defense.
50-yard ball.
Oh, unbelievable.
On the ground.
Dribbled around Stuver, but didn't have a great angle. Even that being said, I thought Pulido would finish it because he normally would, but with his left foot, he put it into the side netting. But it was a great chance for Sporting there in the fifth minute. And just 2 minutes later, Austin gets the goal, even though, like you said, it wasn't a high percentage probability that they would score on that buildup. It did seem like, to me, Sporting was kind of exposed in terms of the lack of speed on the defense,
got
specifically
caught.
The center back.
Straight up got caught.
Yeah, they got caught. Anytime that Andrea Fontes is marking someone about 40 yards away from the goal, it's just a bad start to the play defensively. Gallagher dribbled around Pulskamp. I actually thought Punchets could have maybe slid and blocked that shot. He ended up just kind of watching it trickle in, but that was a frustrating one for Sporting.
Well, you know, and I think Punchic has got to have the awareness of where Gallagher is on his back shoulder there. Zusi's got to mark a man higher up the field there. That's his job. So the only person who can pick up that center forward there is Punchic, and it looks like he just lost him early on the play. He keeps drifting closer to the ball, and the only place that Stroud is going to hit that ball is deeper to the back post if he's going to hit it there.
Daniel Shalloway, in some ways, you could say he had a great game. He was very dangerous. He could have scored multiple goals. He ended up not converting his chances. Just 2 minutes after Austin scored in the ninth minute, Shalloway had a first-time shot on a volley in the box that he put high over the top of goal. 13th minute, Pulskamp with a diving save on a long-range shot. 17th minute, Pulskamp, another diving save. This was after a really bad turnover in the box by Punchets.
That was bad.
He tried to dribble and got a little too fancy. Punchets kind of settled into the game and looked better, but he had some rough moments there in the first 20 minutes or so.
Him coming off Peter Sepp is a hamstring injury of some kind.
Oh, so that means him and Issy both dealing with hamstrings right now. So Pulskamp with that diving save in the 17th. Also in the 17th, Stuver with the diving save on a Busio rocket. Remember, it was a great long ball forward, a great diagonal by Graham Zusi. And Busio just destroyed his shot, but Stuver with a nice diving save. But again, that's kind of, like I said, I got into an argument with my son here about Graham Zusi versus Jalen Lindsay. And he said, Graham Zusi's got so much more experience. He's played in the World Cup. He's won trophies. And I said, yeah, but Jalen Lindsay's younger and maybe a little faster at this point. But I said, the big plus of Graham Zusi is such a technical player, such a good passer. And that was a play where you saw the skill of Graham Zusi passing the ball.
That ball, and he did it several times tonight. We talk about the switch, the 60-yard ball on a dime. That ball, he has the wherewithal to get his head up. No, Nick Lima is the Austin right back who is notorious for getting lost positionally. Fantastic player going forward very fast. Defensively, positionally, not good. Excuse me. Sees Busio's run, splitting the center back and Nick Lima, and puts it on the spot, and it's a heck of a hit from Boos, and a very good save by Stuver, who, again, we'll talk about it over and over, kept Austin in this game.
23rd minute, Busio had a bad miss as he found himself wide open on a header right in front of goal. Again, it was Graham Zusi with just a great cross, and not that Gianluca Busio is going to get a ton of header goals, but that was one that I'm sure he'd like to have another chance at.
Yeah, I mean, you're that open, you got to put it on frame at least.
32nd minute, Busio, another chance. You know, to the Tristan's point earlier, Gianluca Busio, just reading through the highlights, very involved here in
Super
the first
involved.
Half. 32nd minute, he had a long-range curling shot that was saved by Stuver. And also in the 32nd, another chance for Sporting, Daniel Shalloway. Got behind the defense, a great ball through the defense by Roger Espinoza.
Another 50-yard ball. Oh, wait, hang on.
Yeah.
Stop me if you've heard this before. Splitting the center back in Nick Lima, going deep in that corner.
And again, Sporting's midfield looks a lot better tonight. Roger Espinoza, a big part of that. Daniel Shalloway gets behind the defense. It looked like maybe he tried a toe poke around Stuver, but Stuver makes a kick save that was just devastating at that point.
That kick save, if you go back and watch that, it's hockey style. It's that good of a kick save. It's such a good reaction save. Daniel, I think Daniel's going to watch that tape and go, you know what, I tried to get fancy and beat him with the quick one, rather than opening up my hips and letting him commit.
Yeah.
If Daniel opens up his hips, Stuver probably commits, and he's got either the near post or the back post to choose. Daniel tried to go very quick, sneak it past him at the back post. It's a killer save.
So that was in the 32nd minute. Sporting could have equalized. In the 34th minute, you could make a case that Austin could have put this game away. That was when they had that long-range shot that clanked off the crossbar that, like you said, it's a low-percentage chance, but Pulskamp couldn't make the save. It got over him. But fortunately for Sporting KC, the crossbar saved the day.
Well, and that ball goes wide and gets recycled back out to Pochettino, and somehow Johnny Russell is the man who has to become closing from inside. I like something got lost in the midfield there on when that ball switched fields, and Pochettino says, "Okay, Johnny Russell's 10 yards away. I'll have a hit here."
Second half, Austin had a couple more chances to maybe put the game on ice. In the 49th minute, Pulskamp had a big save on a close range shot in the box on the break. 50th minute, Austin another shot on the break that was pulled just wide. And then fast forwarding later in the second half, that's when the mass substitutions came for Sporting KC. 54th minute, Gadi Kinda for Roger Espinoza. I agree with Sean. I think the idea of rotating Roger Espinoza, maybe he starts every other game or something like that to keep him fresh, seems like a good idea. Also at that point, Jalen Lindsay for Graham Soucy, who, as we mentioned, a nice first game back, 50-plus minutes, and looked not really rusty, which is very impressive. Just 3 minutes later in the 57th, Kaveh Rad comes in for Punchets, who, as we said, seems like he has a minor hamstring injury. Right after that, 58th minute, Daniel Shallowy, again, a great chance, got the ball on the break, put his shot just wide. He was less than a foot wide. So, again, the third really good chance of the match for Daniel Shallowy. 58th minute, not much for the next 9 minutes or so, but in the 67th, Austin shown a red card. I thought Ted Unkle did not have a great game tonight. It seemed like
agree.
He didn't know his whistle was there for the first, you know, hour or so of the match, but shows Alex Ring the second yellow card. It was
did
a pretty
Did he show
rough
a second
tackle.
Yellow or did he go straight red?
He did. Second okay. yellow, okay. red card. Pretty nasty challenge on Ilya by Ring, and he didn't really seem to argue that call.
No, he comes in two-footed there, and he stops. I mean, it's not like he dove or like it was a slide, but you can't come in two-footed behind a guy like that on a stamp, essentially, and not get that call.
So Sporting goes up a man in the 67th minute. Again in the 74th, Daniel Shallowy, another good chance. This one off the bar. It was a fingertip save by Struver. Otherwise, it would have found the back of the net.
Well, so that play starts with Jean-Luc Abusio being double-teamed, receiving the ball into a double-team, turning with a guy on his hip, beating the double-team, going down, probably fouled, and the ball just falls to Shallowy, who does the exact same thing he should, you know, sets himself up right foot, bends it at the back post. I was on a perfect angle for that. That is a world-class save from Stuver to keep that ball out and to push it off the bar.
The moment I thought the Sporting was not going to come back in this game was the 78th minute where Andrea Fontes was standing about 5 feet in front of the goal line. And granted, on the replay, you could tell he just couldn't get on top of the ball. But literally right in the middle of the six-yard box, about 5 feet out from goal, and Fontes did not have anyone really messing with him or marking him that well. But his header right in front of the goal just went high.
Yeah, he's almost leaning back as he hits that, which is a recipe for putting it over. Hey, props to Kaveh Rad for putting it right back in the mix. Kaveh's on the back post there and puts it right back in.
1 minute later, nearly an own goal for Austin. Jalen Lindsay hit a heck of a cross, deflected off an Austin defender, and nearly settled in the back corner there in the 79th minute. And then 3 minutes later, Sporting KC gets the goal that they'd been so close the whole game. And it's one you wouldn't predict. It was a great corner kick by Johnny Russell, but Ilya just unmarked at the near post buries that header.
Yeah, and there's a guy on the post, too. He sneaks it in. The man on the post lost track of everything.
Pulskamp diving save on the break in the 83rd minute. You heard Graham Soucy pretty frustrated that Sporting KC kind of gave up a chance right off the restart.
He sounded really angry about that, right?
Yeah, he did. So that was the 83rd minute. But Austin didn't have a lot of chances after that. 85th minute, we saw Kyrie Shelton come on for Daniel Shallowy, Remy Walter come on for Kaveh Rad. And again, that's when Ilya shifted back to center back. I like that move by Peter Vermees. He put on Rad, but then wasn't hesitant to just get him out.
No. I mean, at that point, he knew they were pushing, and they thought they – I was kind of surprised he did it after the goal, but I'm glad it happened.
91st minute, the game-winning goal for Sporting KC. Gadi Kinda maybe needs to work on his flip. You know, we've seen better flips from Dom Dwyer, Latif Blessing and others in the past, but I can't critique too much because it's a game-winning goal and a huge game-winning goal for Sporting KC. What did you see out on that header?
Well, it's a set-piece sequence. That ball, Luis Martins picks up the ball. It's a throw-in. The ball goes out. Luis Martins picks up the ball. Quick throw-in. Johnny Russell checks in. Pulls two defenders. The ball goes back out to Martins. Martins hits a great early ball. Kyrie Shelton gets a touch on it. I still think he's trying to bring it down to get off the shot, but it bounces perfectly for Gotti, who, you know, great awareness in the moment to snap header at the back post. It's right place, right time, but it's also a very good finish.
So it's the game-winning goal, 91st minute, and again.
And like a six on the flip. Let's give him like a six.
But again, right after the restart, 92nd minute, Pulskamp has to make a save at the near post. He had it perfectly covered. But Austin had a chance to equalize just a minute after that goal by Gotti Kinda. Sporting had a couple more chances. They almost scored again.
I think that ball's going wide, by the way. Pulskamp, the 92nd.
It's like, it's scary that happens afterwards.
Yeah.
95th minute, Pulido just wide with a chance in the box. And again, 96th minute, a pretty nice sequence. Pulido back heels to Gotti Kinda, makes a couple moves, and his shot is saved there by Stuver, who had a nice game. Sporting KC comes from behind. They get a big 2-1 win. We've talked a lot about player rotation, Chad. Sporting KC next up at Houston on Wednesday. Back home next Sunday against Vancouver. It's supposed to be like 75 or 80 degrees here. So I think tonight is the last long sleeve weather, at least till the fall for Sporting fans. But what I can never figure out what the coaching staff's going to do in terms of rotation. But we're looking at 3 games in 7 days. Do you think we're looking at kind of first choice lineup tonight, first choice lineup next Sunday, something in between on Wednesday? Do you think it's first choice lineup tonight, first choice lineup Wednesday, something different next Sunday? Like I said, I never know what to predict. What do you think the lineup looks like with 3 games in 7 days?
Let me ask you this question. Who do you think is good in this league right now? Like, do you have any handle on who's good other than maybe Seattle, who looks very good? Do you have any handle on who's good? Like, is Vancouver good? Is Houston good? I genuinely don't feel like I...
It's so early.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's why, tonight was such a big game for Sporting.
Yeah.
Because, like I said with Sean, I said, I think Sporting could be the second best team in the West, or they could be close to the bottom. Like, I have no idea.
Like, are the Galaxy good, or are they just fortunate? Because that defense is shambles, but they keep winning. So, look, is EC healthy? Is Tim Melia healthy? And what does that mean?
So Tim Melia wasn't on the injury report.
No,
he wasn't in the 18.
I know Tim trained some this week. I don't know to what extent Tim trained some this week. I know EC trained some this week. I don't know to what extent. And I think neither was on the injury report, by the way.
Yeah.
You assume that is we don't want to rush those guys back the front end of 3 games in 7 days and then rotate the team again. So my assumption is either of those guys see some time this week. Either or both. The question is it game two? Is it game three? Et cetera.
So if you had a guess, does Peter Vermees say, I'm putting the first choice lineup out there in a tougher game Wednesday night on the road, or I'm putting the first choice lineup out there next week where they can be more rested in an easier game at home?
I mean,
if you were guessing, how do you think that plays out?
And how much of his hand is forced by potentially an injury to Roberto Puncic?
Yeah.
Because if Puncic is hurt, and you weren't planning on playing EC Wednesday, now you might be, so that would be my question.